Hello, our friends, Evolutionary Energy Arts family.
Hello there. Welcome back.
As always, guys, check in daily, all three channels, and make sure you're subscribed with the little bell clicked. So when we look to the Kabbalah, we see that there are many different layers to reality and consciousness itself. And this is not going to be really about Kabbalah. I just thought this was an interesting way to, you know, take a look at a certain path, because there are many different paths per se, depending on what flavorings you like. You know, there are chocolate people, there's strawberry, there's vanilla, there's tutti frutti, there's all different flavorings. It's all up to the individual, and we might prefer one sort of lens to look through at some point in our life, and then that lens might change, and we just choose to look through the world with a slightly different lens, and then we might decide, hey, it's time to change the glasses again, or perceptibly throw the glasses away and feel things in a different manner.
And it's all okay, all the above. It's all okay, because when we go on a journey, a spiritual journey, we're going to run into many different paths. We're going to run into many different situations, feelings, emotions. Emotions might be really high, they might be really low. But there's just so many ways to express and experience this time that we're in our human bodies.
Yes. So you see there at the bottom here, we have Malkuth, the physical world, material plane. Then you see these little dots giving a designation of separation. And then we go into three within this realm, this next realm, Yetzirah, the formative world, the mental plane. And then we see we have Tipereth, beauty. We have Geburah and Hesed over here on each side. Briya, the creative world, the emotional plane. So we can see it related over here to the elements, earth, air, water, and then fire up here, Bina and Chokmah, Kether up at the top, the crown. You know, again, this is the tree of life. There are different paths you could take, the left-hand path, the right-hand path, or the center path. We could also look at this, and you could see this as the base of the spine. You could see these as the Ida and the Pingala, the two very, very important masculine feminine nadis. And you could view this as the Sushumna, for those that have studied this, where when these energies are in balance and in harmony, then the dormant Kundalini is no longer dormant, and it rises up the central path, the Sushumna, to illuminate the crown and bring balance. Again, in Chinese traditional medicine, it's all about balance and harmony. It's all about balancing the elements. And here we're seeing again, we're looking at different levels of reality, the material plane, the mental plane, the emotional plane, and the plane of will or spirit. We can also see physical world, formative world, creative world, archetypal world, and earth, air, fire, water again. There's so many different ways we could relate things, but elements and elemental nature is one way in which many traditions have related to us the journey of consciousness from the all to the apparent individual and back to the all again.
Mm-hmm. And when you go back looking at that Kabbalah symbology, we could either be in one particular area focusing on strengthening that, or we can be in several of these areas. We can be in the physical world and in the mental world, on the emotional world and the plane of spirit and fire. We could be all four. So you could imagine there's many, many, many different paths we can take, and there's many things that we can strengthen in ourselves too to find balance.
Absolutely. You could just look at it and go to Geburah. You see strength at the other side. What do you have? Compassion. Because, yes, we can become stronger individuals, but if we lean too much on the strength without the compassion, we can become tyrants. And many do in this world. And, we could have understanding, but without the wisdom to utilize the understanding, we can never reach great heights. So again, there's so many ways to use these. and analogies to bring. Here we are looking to me. I take this as a representation of Lakshmi shining down her blessings upon the person that's praying below. And we will call this in the Hindu tradition, these are the devas. Now, the Devic kingdom is something that is recognized in many traditions. Again, the elemental nature of everything, as when we're down in this physical formative world, we are experiencing a combination of the elements coming into a manifest existence as individual, apparently individual units of consciousness having separate experiences in the grand interplay of the unity that underlines everything that we can possibly perceive. And so when we see it's through the elements that things manifest on this material plane. But when we're talking about beings like Lakshmi and Ganesh and others, they're archetypal in some ways, but they're also very, very much real individual units of consciousness. And that's the thing we want to get across. They're examples. So many beings have come here from other star systems and they personified something. Like one being, take Yeshua. You might think of Yeshua and you might think compassion. If I said just associate one word with Yeshua, I guess compassion would be one of the ones that would come first to my mind, and it might be different to Cindy's.
Well, yeah, I mean, to me, he's showing very well-rounded strength with everything. He knows how to approach things and the highest and best good for each individual's purpose. But all of these energies have a different essence to them. If you choose to step in that energy field, you're going to feel what they feel, and you're going to strengthen that bond between you and them.
So when we use mantras, when we are connecting to them, we're asking to take in those qualities. So with Lakshmi, it would be abundance, which again could be just simply a matter of perception. You might think, well, here I am. I'm in this small home and it's falling apart or what have you, or it's cold, it's drafty, but yet you might not see the abundance that you have compared to somebody that doesn't have a roof over their head. And again, it's not always about necessarily upgrading our physical reality quality-wise or perceptively quality-wise. It's more of that perceptive change at times too, to realizing where we are blessed with great abundance. And when we're talking about Lakshmi, it's about more than just the physical reality. It's about love. But this whole video is more about basically showing the ladder of consciousness that leads up back towards source as we go up through the higher densities, and how that correlates with the material realm around us and all the different beings. So when we're talking about the Devic realm, yes, those beings that we would call devas, again, like Lakshmi, Parvati, which is in many ways strength and fortitude, Sarasvati, which is wisdom. Again, these are all the divine feminine components of that. And then we would have the masculine components of it as well, with Vishnu, Shiva, and Brahma. But when we go down into the smaller, as we're looking more towards the microcosm as opposed to the macrocosm, we will find that the Devic kingdom extends down into all the nature spirits that we see personified through many different traditions, not just the tradition of the Indus Valley, but the tradition of all of Europe, really, and seeing these nature spirits, these beings that we would call fairies, gnomes, pixies, elves. And again, there's many cases where sometimes we are talking about truly nature spirits, as there are elementals that are assigned to every single plant, every single flower. Cindy has shared before that she's seen when a tree falls down in a storm the elemental basically packs up and moves on. So the life that is tending to this and keeping this plant alive and going, when the tree topples, the being moves on.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so many of these things I don't get from books. I get from watching, you know, I get from seeing, learning, just observing. And that's how I get the information that I get. And that was something that was kind of bittersweet when I saw these two trees pulled up by their roots. And then I saw that the spirits within them, they were going somewhere else. And these trees are going to be reabsorbed into the earth to be cycled for anew.
Absolutely. And this is where that comes from a perception of gnosis, knowing experientially. So Cindy's seeing what happened, and she's just simply saying what happened. It's not conjecture. It's just what she's observed. It's very scientific, right? Science is all about, well, you watch something, you know, you create an experiment, you watch, you observe, and see if you could duplicate. So it's the same thing. See if you see another tree that's fallen down, a flower that's been killed in some way, shape, or form, and see the elemental being leaving. We've shared with you guys, we saw the elemental spirits of Earth itself that was inside Zeke leave Zeke's body, and that wasn't until a month after his spirit had already left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a little while. It was kind of weird because for like the during that week, Sassy was spending a lot of time over there near Zeke's grave, and once I looked closer, I could see these little beings coming up from out of the ground, and Sassy was noticing them too. And again, this is not something that I've read about, but luckily Mike has, so he can tell me more about what I'm seeing sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. So this gets me thinking about the seven Poe spirits,
and these are spirits that are inner bodies. These are elementals that basically take up a home, and they direct us.
Yes. And so we could see, let's look at this one. There's different ways depending on the tradition, but this is Taoism. So again, the one thing I want to get across too is that when you look at all the world's traditions, there is a commonality, and there's more symmetry and more things going together in many, many big ways than there is dissimilarities. There might be a slightly different focus on certain things. So when we look to Taoism, they talk about three Hun spirits, and they talk about seven Po spirits. And the Po spirits are from the earth, and those energies are, they're with us. Like right now, as I'm speaking to you, I have seven Po spirits in me. If this body does find itself not functioning anymore, at some point in time, they will leave. Even though my soul will have already moved on, they will probably be here a while longer until the body is breaking down. There is the three Hun spirits too, which we can look at as three guardian angel type beings. These are very, very benevolent beings. You can drive them from your body with alcohol and with certain other, toxins, as they reside in the liver. So with pharmaceuticals and with too much alcohol consumption, you know, drugs, etc., you can actually cause these things to leave you. And again, that's leaving you open to darker influences. And, you know, so these are beings that are with us, our life. Although with some people, you know, say alcoholics, for instance, often they don't have their three guardian angels, their three Hun spirits per se with them. They're gone because they can't reside in the body at that low frequency. They have to leave. Now, the Poe spirits can still be there, and the Poe spirits are what gives us that desire to stay alive. Again, it's in many ways the ego that we have, that urge to keep alive and to keep ourselves, you know, going. and they're very real. They're very real. So, you know, truly this is teamwork that we have in every being, every incarnated human soul here. You have these different beings with you, and, you know, I just found it just monumentally fascinating when Cindy was talking to me about the beings leaving Zeke's body a whole month afterwards. Now, these, you could again view these beings, the Poe, as elemental type beings, because that's really what they are. And so, you know, when you do pick a flower and then the flower starts to die, yeah, you know, the soul has left it, so to speak. The elemental being has left it. Now it's going to break down, decompose, go back into the earth, and, you know, be reutilized to become some other form of life. And same thing happens with our bodies. They break down, they go into the earth, they get utilized as some other form of life again. The three Hun spirits that are with us, you know, they may come back and do it all again in another incarnation, or they may move on. Again, every incarnation, while the soul is going through its own growth and evolution, every incarnation is truly very unique. Each one is totally unique. And, you know, again, thanks to my amazing, beautiful, wonderful wife, I've been blessed to get clarity on several of my past lives. And my last life, I know probably better than so many people that have recollections of their previous lives. And yeah, you know, while I do see where the soul is the same, the experience is so vastly different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the experience is something that it goes inside of our energy body. So there are layers of energy that continue to hold these experiences. So a lot of times that's why when you're able to step into someone's energy, you can read their past lives as well. But from my experience, you're only going to get the past lives that are most important for this experience. The rest is safely locked away for a time and space when you really need it. And when you need to pull on those past experiences, well, they're there only when you need them.
Could connect with them in many different ways. But main focus, what I wanted to share here, was the commonality of the Davic kingdom. And this reference point has been so cut off from humanity in these times. You know, this is what the fundamentalist aspect and that you find in the modern Abrahamic tradition will almost make you think that all these elemental beings, of which you would not be alive if it wasn't for them. You could not be alive if it wasn't for them. And so they are demonized and made to be something dark. And the reason why, one of the reasons why our lifespan in a Kali Yuga is so short is because we're not in harmony with them. We're not working with them, we're working against them. Again, when you take something like an antibiotic, it's anti-life, literally is what that translates to. And so in you're making their job harder. But this is why modern medicine takes the approach it does, because modern medicine is about serving the system and not really the individual. It's not really about health and balance, not at all. No, this is something totally, totally different. And so when you view all the nature spirits as being evil, and again, even if we take the worm with the word, the Greek word demon, it comes from, well, the word demon comes from daemon, which means a nature spirit. And if you go look it up, it typically means a benevolent nature spirit. Yeah, no wonder our lifespan is so short in the Kali Yuga. We can communicate with these beings. They do have intelligence. And in reality, these beings do not feel dissimilar to the animal kingdom, because the animal kingdom is very much kind of in some ways one step up the consciousness ladder, but still so strongly connected to the Davic kingdom.
Mm-hmm. and these beings, you can utilize them for your, you know, for your betterment. You can call them in, you can have them help you with certain things, and it's always about asking. And you know, from time to time, you might get an elemental that's a little bit mischievous, but you can always take care of that with some sage. But then again, they want to come. If you're one that has like 100 house plants in your home, you have a lot of little elementals all around you. And it really does help the house plants be happier when you tend to them. Every time you tend to them, you're tending to a little being, and it's just really sweet, and it can really turn a rather stagnant home into a beautiful paradise.
Absolutely. And so many traditions of all sorts would leave offerings for various elemental beings. Again, every single flower, every single tree, every you know, even rocks, you know, again, these beings are everywhere and in everything. They basically, if you want to look at a hierarchy, when we look to beings like the archangels, which are up in a very, very high place, the true archangels, because again, there's so much distortion that we see that comes out of the controllers-based system as to, you know, what the archangels are. The archangels are titanic forces. That's the best way to describe them. They are immense forces of energy that you couldn't encapsulate an archangel into a single human body. That's just an impossibility.
No, that's insane. I mean, it's like trying to send a whole bolt of electricity through a little teeny tiny wire. You're going to have nothing but a mess, and you wouldn't even want to try, because that can actually be damaging to the body. Many people that channel energy or channel other beings, it's really important to work on that, your internal network, because the stronger that is, the more these beings can channel through you. But it's still always to a degree. Sometimes our consciousness only has enough ability to just channel a part of this being's information, because we might not have the understanding in our frequency in this lifetime.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we say deva, you know, that is a word that encapsulates many different beings, from the tiniest little units of consciousness that are starting out by tending to a blade of grass, to the deva that's in charge of a redwood tree. And again, this is part of the soul's journey, because the soul starts out at this is really part of transmigration of the soul, because really what it is a transmigration. It's not so much a typical reincarnation. It's not like human souls automatically have to reincarnate as more human souls. No, there's a lot more to it than that. And again, human is just a temporary experience. And we can also branch off, like the higher self, the real us, may have concurrent incarnations going on at the same time.
You know, we were having a discussion this morning with one of our dear family members. Hi, Terry. And I was telling her of an experience that I had where, this is going to sound silly to some, but I was an apple on a tree. I was an apple on a tree. And I was who I am now. I am me. I was consciousness. I understood my position. I understood my job. I understood that I was going to be eaten. And what was I doing? I was really having a glorious time simply being and staring over the yard, watching all the grass grow. And I was just as happy as I could be. And that was the elemental that's inside. So everything has consciousness. Don't think that you are the one who knows more than a plant, because that's not true. There's been plenty of experiments where plants have been hooked up to little meters, and a specific person walks in the room, and whenever they walk in the room, they might tear the leaf off of that plant. And that plant knows, and it records. So pretty soon, the same person walks in a room, and the plant, you can see the spikes of energy go up and down. The plant is screaming. It's freaking out. So they're no different than us.
No, again, the consciousness is part of it's part of one ocean of consciousness. And that's, again, we are all individual drops of water in an ocean of consciousness, and apparently having separate experiences, but the reality is we're one whole. And again, the elemental kingdom is all about that. And when we talk about beings like the archangels, you know, they help in the formation of this universe, but they also help in the formation of other universes too. They're not just tied to this particular universe. They are very, very big energies. And again, consciousness doesn't have to be mobile per se, because, you know, it is mobile. And so, you know, can consciousness root itself in a crystal, in a rock? Absolutely. Everywhere, anywhere. It's all just a different experience. But ultimately, that rootedness is only a temporary thing, because, you know, our consciousness can fly. And if we do have a developed Merkaba, if you're light body, you're Merkaba, when you look to the six-pointed star, in many traditions, again, that is truly pointing out our Merkaba. We could go anywhere, anywhere. We're not bound to the 3D, 4D loop when you are, when you have a full-blown Merkaba. And all this, these are all teachings from the ancient past that have been given to us by the benevolent beings that are here in the Satya Yuga, in the Golden Age, also in the Silver Age. And then as we go through and transverse the Bronze, we start heading into that zone where there's more self-serving entities than there are benevolent energies. And so they are the ones that are always demanding that there's only one way and you have to serve us. And that's a tip-off that you're not dealing with, you know, the ones that understand how the universe truly works and are all about illuminating you. Because, yes, Source, of course, lies inside you. It wouldn't be Source if it wasn't inside you. You know, it's just so obvious, but yet the world has been deceived, unfortunately, through the dark control matrix. So whether you're looking at a mushroom, or whether you're looking at a redwood tree or a flower, anything, there is consciousness attached to it. And even though that tree might not be able to get up and move, the consciousness that's behind the tree absolutely can. And, you know, the air itself, which is full to various degrees, depending on whether you're in a desert or whether you're in a tropical rainforest with water, you know, and again, oxygen itself, H2O, consciousness, life is everywhere, even in space. Space is not a vacuum. Absolutely, space is loaded with the building blocks of life, because it's life is for consciousness. Life is created by consciousness to be a vehicle for consciousness. And, you know, that's just the way the universe works.
Mm-hmm. Everything is all one, but it has separated itself into different experiences. So when you are out in a forest, when you are walking a trail, when you are just sitting with a tree, there is a conversation going on inside of you and inside of all those other beings. And when you're able to get quiet enough in your soul, you're able to hear the whispers and the conversations and the exchanges of energy. It's really quite beautiful.
Absolutely. So we were walking through the woods the other day, and it was exceedingly quiet, more quiet than usual. And so I had stopped at one point in time, and I just kind of sank my roots into the earth, and I just expanded my consciousness outwards. And then I did, you know, hear the devas. I could hear the little pitter-patter of their feet, their perceptive feet, in my mind anyway, coming closer to me, because I was intentionally shining my light brighter. And it was drawing them in, because then they know, oh, okay, this is a human we could trust. They can read the frequency. So I would do that in the past. I would go into different points, even in my own backyard, in my garden. I would anchor, root, draw in the life force, draw in the light, see yourself shining. And you could see yourself shining in a crystalline white. You could see it as a golden light. Those are both very high frequency. The white contains all. Or, you know, maybe you want to give yourself a little crystalline green tinge, you know, more like nature and growing things. And just listen, because you may hear them coming close and coming around you. And their energy feels very much like a chipmunk, a squirrel, some sort of small animals that are curious and cautious. And as they recognize that you're no harm, they'll come and get closer to you. And then they will bless you with abundance in your garden, per se, if that's the focus. And again, you might want to leave them gifts. And you know, in some traditions, leaving crystals, placing crystals around the garden could be something that you would do as an offering to them. Some people have left coins. Others will leave fruit and things like that. It's up to you. It's up to your intuition, too.
You know, water is a huge offering, a bowl of water, leaving things out there that's going to help the earth. It's going to be of assistance in some way, shape, or form as leaving an offering, because it's anything that they can use to help take care of the plants that they are in charge of.
So there is this hierarchy, so to speak, of consciousness. All the way from the lowest, smallest, tiniest little elemental beings that are taking care of the smallest units of nature, all the way up to the beings that we know of as like Vishnu and Lakshmi and Shiva and Parvati, Sarasvati and the like, or from other traditions as well. It's part of the evolution of the soul, because it is written in many traditions. It says in the Chinese mythology, as Rama's demanding more food,
yes.
Is what he's doing. He's grabbing his bowl and dropping it, saying, I want more food.
Yes.
So in the Chinese mythology, in the Golden Age, it said humans are like the gods. Well, yes, because again, we are understanding how the universe works. We see the interconnectedness of all things. The love and the appreciation wells from within, and it pulls us up into these higher densities.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's about getting quiet in the soul. And it's about getting grounded to hear these conversations even go on in your body, so you can hear and feel and see what needs to be brought into balance today. And it can be just as simple as admiring the earth outside. If you can't get outside, look out your window, admire the plants and the green. Even if you're in the desert, admire the rocks, admire the sagebrush. There's beauty in everything. And if there's one thing the desert taught me, it's the beauty is there. You really simply have to look, and it's that easy.
Absolutely. And I do remember one person leaving a comment so long ago saying, we don't worship nature, we worship the creator. But when you show honor, respect, and reverence for the creation of the creator, and recognize that everything is completely interconnected, show love to all beings. When you show love to, a small animal crossing your path, you know, a bird that's fallen out of the nest, you're also showing love to the creator.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, we don't want to be divisive. We want to be inclusive in this realm.
God bless and namaste.
Namaste.